Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, once again to FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Geffey. Here we are on blogtalkradio.com. It's another Sunday evening here in North Carolina. We're digging out of the ice and snow that hit us last week. I think the entire state just basically said, let's all just take the week off and survive and huddle up with hot chocolate and hot soup and chili and every other warm comfort food that we can find and let the kids take the week off and enjoy. And now we've dug out of that, and the Lord's blessed us with some warm temperatures, and so the ice has melted off, I think, finally today for just about everybody. So we're looking at starting a new week here tomorrow, fresh and ready to get back at it, and folks get back to work, and kids get back to school. Wanted to welcome everyone tonight, and thank everyone who's joined us this past week on Facebook and Twitter. Remember, our Twitter feed is FMG Live, the number 2 and the letter U. So we thank you for supporting us there, for joining us and following us on social media. Tonight, I wanted to talk to you about something very real. I wanted to get really real. You know, real is the word that I want to use tonight, because we're talking about struggles, but the idea is that struggles are real. You know, we talk about at the beginning of the year that this is our year of preparation here on FMG Live, and we're moving forward with some things. But as we move forward and as we try to do the work of the Lord, we encounter obstacles. You know, Christ said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. But he didn't say that was his burden and his yoke. He didn't mean that we weren't going to have troubles and we weren't going to have struggles. And what we find sometimes as Christians, when we have struggles, we end up in a couple of different camps. Some people end up in the camp of, what did I do wrong that I have now deserved this punishment from God? And that's a really sad camp to be in, because our Father doesn't do that. He is not so petty as to do that. Now, you may have done some things, and you find yourself outside of the will of the Father, and you're finding life is difficult out there when you're not seeking Him, and you're not praising Him, you're not, going after Him. And that can be a real place. But oftentimes, Christians put themselves there artificially. And by that, I mean we assume that because, oh my gosh, we've had some struggles this week, we've had a hard time this week, that, gee, I must be doing something wrong. I'm not reading my Bible enough. I'm not praying enough. I'm not doing whatever it is that's enough. And that's just a lie that the devil wants to tell you. Because the reality is, we as Christians will encounter struggle. And what gets worse is, we don't want to talk about them. If we already feel like we have done something wrong that has landed us in this camp of those who have not done enough or who have failed God and they're being punished, then we're certainly not going to talk about that with others. And then there's another camp. There's the other camp that says, wow, if I say something to my Christian brothers and sisters at my church, if I go on Facebook and talk about my struggles, what will people think of me? They will think that I am in disfavor with God. They'll think that I am not blessed. They'll think that I've done something wrong to be in that camp over there, people who've done stuff wrong. Or they'll think that I have no victory in my life. They'll think that there is something wrong with me, so I better not say anything. Or they'll think that I'm not, you know, my wife comments sometimes about social media. She says that it's a place where people go to show how good their lives are, even if they aren't. And I thought that was a really, really powerful insight that she had, because it is. When we look on social media, everyone puts their best face forward almost all the time, and they're out there saying, well, here's my wonderful family, and this is what we're doing, and this is the fun and exciting and good stuff I'm doing, and, oh, look at this cause that we need to support, and all of these things. No one, you know, you don't really find a lot of people on Facebook or elsewhere who are saying, woe is me, here's the troubles that I've been having this week, pray for me and help us. You know, they'll put on there, pray for my family member because they're ill or they've suffered an accident or something like that. Because that is something that people can excuse. You know, physical injury occurs, that's not your fault. That, you know, and particularly if it's for a family member and not for you. What I'm talking about, when I say struggles, I'm talking about the nitty-gritty struggles, the down-in-the-dirt kind of struggles that we have as individuals, when we're tempted, that we have and fail, that we have as families, when families, you know, have problems. Because guess what, folks? Families have problems. Every family has problems. Every family has conflict. Human beings cannot live together without conflict. And it's real. There's that word again, real. And these struggles occur, and it should be okay for us to talk about them. It should be that we can go to our Christian brothers and sisters as our support group and say, wow, you know what? I had this happen this week, and it was horrible, and we lost a lot of sleep over it, and we were up till wee hours in the morning trying to deal with it. And, you know, we as a family, we're going to get counseling for it and all these other things. And people, if you tell that, unless these are people that who you are very intimate with, if you share this with your Sunday school class, with your prayer group, half of those people, a lot of times, are going to drop their jaws and say, I am shocked that such a thing would come out of your mouth, that's happening to you. Well, let me put you in one of two camps. You're either in God's disfavor or you're lacking victory. What's wrong with you that this has happened? They don't say, hey, I'm here to support you. Hey, I'm here to care about you. Let's pray about this. Let's give this over to God. And what can I do to help you? They end up saying, whoa, dude, you have messed up big time. And that's just not the case. Life happens. And our churches need to be places where that can occur. The churches that we need to have and that we need to establish, and the culture. You know, when I was working in the corporate world, we had there was a thing called corporate culture. And what kind of culture did we want to cultivate within our organization? And churches are terrible at cultivating Christ-like culture. And that's just a fact. That's just a fact. Because what happens is, and we end up using this wonderful Southern word called fine. Well, brother so-and-so, how's it going today? Fine. Just fine. Had a fine week. Now, what he's not saying is that his teenage son almost committed suicide, his daughter ran off and had an illicit affair, and his mortgage is due, and he went to the bar Thursday night and drunk again, and when he hadn't been, you know, drinking in, you know, 5 years, and he slipped and fell into this trap, and he lusted after, you know, another woman, or his wife lusted after another man, and we just don't have the capability to freely discuss the things that weigh on our hearts. And that's sad, because that's not what church is supposed to be about. That's not what Jesus was about. When you look in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus had just preached the Beatitudes. He had come down from the mountain, and he had made his way to Capernaum. And when he entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now let's look at that verse. That's Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. So Jesus has just entered into the city, and bam, here comes this Roman centurion. This is a man of respect. This is a man who commands 100 soldiers at his beck and call. He is not a sergeant. He is a captain. He is a man who is used to being obeyed. He is a man who is respected. He is a man well thought of. He is a man of social status. His social, if we looked at his Facebook page, he would have a $300,000 home, 2-car garage, beautiful wife and 2 wonderful kids and a dog, and his life would look perfect because he is a Roman centurion. He is well paid. He is well taken care of. He has servants. He has a household, and he has a great life. But you see, the centurion doesn't come to Jesus secretly. He doesn't send for Jesus to come to his house. He doesn't have a servant go to Jesus and say, "My master wants to see you." Instead, he comes to Jesus. And he doesn't just come to him, which is bad enough. And Jesus, it says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum. Jesus has just walked in to the city. He's in the street. He's in the square. He is out in the open, and this centurion goes to him and in front of everyone beseeches him. To beseech someone is to seek them out and beg them. This is a Roman centurion. He is a leader among men. He doesn't beg anyone for anything, but he has come to the Lord, beseeching him in front of everyone, where everyone can see. And he says to the Lord, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." So the centurion has come forward and said, "This member of my household is suffering." Now, in the Roman society, the first thing that a religious-minded Roman would ask is, "What god did you offend? Did you offend Jove? Did you offend Hera? Did you offend Neptune? Did you offend Athena? Who did you offend to cause this to come upon your house?" But Jesus doesn't say any of that. Jesus doesn't say, "Well, what did you do wrong?" Jesus didn't say, "What have you been up to that's caused this to happen?" So the centurion, remember now, has come before Jesus in public, in front of everyone, begging him to come to him and to come to his house to help his servant, to help his household become whole. And what's Jesus' very simple answer? Jesus saith unto him, verse 7, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion says, he further debases himself in front of Jesus and says, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." So the centurion goes to Jesus, begs him, and then when Jesus says, "I will come and heal him," the centurion says, in front of everyone, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come even under my roof, I'm not worthy that you come into the house. Now, was he saying that because he had messed up? No, he was saying that because he respected the Lord God. And he said it because he had faith. He believed. And later on, Jesus marveled at it, that here was this Gentile, here was this centurion who comes forward with this great faith. And in verse 13, Jesus says unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So the centurion's faith in coming forward sees his household made whole. Now, there's a contrast in verse 14. And it's an interesting contrast. And I don't know that Matthew put this in here specifically as a contrast. I think Matthew was telling this to tell about the miraculous healing of Jesus. But at the same time, I think this is one of the things where the Lord was guiding his hand. And basically it was like, Matthew, I want you to put this in here right after this. Because the very next verse, verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick with a fever. So let's look at what happened. Here's the contrast. Centurion, who doesn't know Jesus, who's only heard of him, he's not been a disciple, he's not one of the 12, he comes to Jesus, beseeches him in front of everyone, humbles himself, doesn't care what everyone else thinks, speaks of his troubles to Jesus. Jesus says, because of your faith, Jesus says, I'll come help you. The man says, I believe, Lord, in you so much, and I am so unworthy, you don't even need to come into my house. If you just say it, it'll be so. And Jesus says, because of your faith, you believed it, it is. So the centurion, in public, comes to Jesus, tells him his troubles, believes on him, and is done. 14, we have old Peter. I love Peter. Peter is the most human of the apostles. And I love him for it. And I love that he is included in the New Testament as much as he is, because he is a reminder. Peter is the best of us and the worst of us all rolled into one. He is what we could be and what we are. It's hard sometimes for us to identify with Matthew. It's hard for a lot of people to identify with the Apostle Paul. But Peter was a fisherman. He was just a man. And there, he got to walk on water. He was just a man. Unworthy, he felt. But he messed up. And he messes up in front of Jesus all the time. And Jesus is constantly correcting him and constantly forgiving him. And I love him for that. Because he's human, you see. He's real. Peter is real. And so Jesus comes under Peter's house. So Peter didn't tell Jesus that his mother-in-law, because that's who we're talking about here. When Jesus, you got to follow the pronouns. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he, Jesus, saw his wife's, Peter's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, laid and sick of a fever. Now, maybe Peter didn't want his mother-in-law healed. I don't know how things were going there. Maybe he just, oops, I accidentally forgot to tell Jesus about my mother-in-law being sick. Sorry. Darn, that slipped my mind. But Peter doesn't tell Jesus. He doesn't confide in Jesus. He doesn't say, Jesus, my mother-in-law is sick. Will you help her? Instead, Jesus has to come into the house. And he's there probably to break bread. Peter, again, doesn't even mention it. Maybe he's ashamed. Maybe he's afraid to say, Jesus, this member who, you know, the centurion had a servant who was sick, and he went, and that must have been a well-beloved servant. It was just a servant, and the centurion went and sought Jesus out in the square in public. Peter, who is one of the apostles, His mother-in-law, a family member, is sick, and he doesn't even bother to tell Jesus. Now, Jesus heals her anyway. He touches her hand, the fever leaves her, she arises and ministers unto them. But I just thought that was an interesting contrast, because a lot of times we're like Peter. We have these troubles in our household. We have this sickness or this struggle, and we don't tell Jesus. We don't tell anybody. Jesus has to come in and find it out for himself. Now, Jesus knows what's going on in your household. But you see, he created a support group for you. And that's your brothers and sisters in Christ. They are the ones who here on earth are there to do the Lord's will. And you have to remember, in the same instance where you are the one struggling with the brother and sister, who needs to be there for your fellow Christian, not judging them, not pointing out to them, hey, what did you do wrong? But hey, how can I help you? Hey, you can talk to me, and you can talk to me in confidence. You can talk to me if that's the way you want to do it, or we can get a group of us together and we'll talk about it and pray about it. You can count on us. You see, too many times Christians in our churches can be like the Pharisees. Sometimes I'm negative about our modern churches, and the fact is that 80% of them are dying. And they're dying for reasons. They're not just dying because the church is dying. The church is a vital, and when I say the church, I mean the whole body of believers. It is a strong organization of faith that acts as the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord God Almighty. And we are powerful as a group, as a body. But there are individual churches out there that have forgotten what it means. Maybe they haven't been taught in a while what it means. They haven't been reminded of what it means to be a Christian, of what it means to love and to share that love and to not judge somebody for their struggle. Because we all struggle. We struggled when we were sinners. We struggled when we were Christians. Because we live in a world that is full of sin and full of flesh and full of decay. And we are going to have troubles. The difference is we can now turn to each other and more importantly to Jesus and say, Jesus, here are my troubles. And you see, we need to be like the centurion who wasn't afraid to go out in public and say, Jesus, I come to you, please help me. And Jesus' help might be to send a couple of your brothers and sisters in Christ to say, hey, how's it going? Are you okay? And when they say, are you okay, instead of using our southern word, oh, we're fine, maybe we need to trust in them and trust that maybe the Lord sent them to us. You see, there can be people in the church like the Pharisees. And in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus, again, speaking to the multitude and to his disciples, talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. And they are the ones who hand out the law. They are the ones who put on a show of religion. And Jesus just calls them out in chapter 23, verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men, and they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And what that means is they make a big show and a big deal about their religiosity. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. They want to be on the front pews where everybody can see that they're there. They got the backs to you. And this is not against somebody, people who sit up front, because I like sitting up front where I'm close to the preacher and to the praise team and the choir. And there's nothing wrong with that. But these people did it so that they could be seen. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But Jesus said, be not ye called Rabbi. For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. You see, it's that last, all ye are brethren. We don't have masters in the church. And this is where I'm going to take a little side road on pastors. We give our pastors zero leeway to be people. We call them Rabbi, Rabbi, because they have been asked and called by God to lead and to shepherd. They are human beings just like every other person. They are brethren because all ye are brethren. That's what it said. All of you are brothers and sisters. There's no masters among you. There is but one master, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the master. Everybody else, that means that none of us are greater than anybody else. Your pastor might be having a bad week. And you know what? That doesn't make him any less a man of God. And that doesn't mean that he is any less capable of doing what God has called him to do, and he isn't less capable of bringing the message to you. And in fact, you need to make sure, as a member of his congregation, that he knows he can come to you in confidence, that he can come to you in the spirit of healing, and in the spirit of brotherhood, and bring his troubles, just as you bring yours to him, and you get those same things, you support him as he supports you. That's what a church is. A church is an organization that is real. It is real people with real struggles coming together. There's a pastor. He is a leader in the sense that you've got to have somebody who is organized, who has the vision, and who's helping move everybody else along. Not everyone has the gift or the calling to be a pastor. That's just reality. But everyone has a gift or gifts that God has given them. One of those gifts is compassion. Every single one of us has compassion. Passion is where it's what we use to deal with the real struggles of our brothers and sisters. Jesus gave us the example of compassion time and time and time again. When the centurion came to him in the public square and said, hey, I am here. My family, my house has a trouble. I need you, Lord. The Lord didn't have to do anything except speak it, and it was done. Peter doesn't call on the Lord, doesn't tell him about the sickness in his house. Jesus has to come discover it. Jesus lays on hands and fixes it anyway. Be there this week for your brother and sister. And don't be afraid to share your struggles. Show your brothers and sisters in Christ the example. Show them that it's okay to share, that it's okay to be human, and it's okay to be real. I'm your host, John A. Guffey, for FMG Live here on blogtalkradio.com. Join us next week. We have some exciting guests lined up for the future, and hopefully next week we'll be speaking to one of those from overseas. So join us for that. Everyone, please have a blessed week, and we look forward to seeing you again here on blogtalkradio.com.